Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Lucky Few podcast, where we are shifting the narrative by shouting the worth of people with Down syndrome. This is Heather,
Mercedes,
and Micah.
And today we are going to be chatting about all of the reasons that we are so thankful for Down syndrome. Thank you for joining us, friends, and welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. This week's episode is sponsored by Able Now, tax advantage savings accounts for eligible individuals with disabilities. Are you like me and you've been meaning to set up an Able Now account? It's easier than you might have expected, and thank goodness for that. The application is entirely online, so it can be completed anytime from the comfort of home. Many Able Now customers share that enrollment takes just a few minutes. Able Now is available to qualified individuals in all 50 states. Learn if you or someone you know is eligible for an Able Now account at able-now.com. Hey, Heather here, and I'm so excited to get to share with you more about Jonas Paul Eyewear. They have a mission to help kids feel beautiful and confident in their glasses. Their at-home try-on kits, which are just a dollar, send you a variety of options of frames, and your kid gets to try them on and feel confident and great before ordering. And when you're ready to order, prescription glasses start at just $79, including prescription lenses. So if you're in need of glasses, head to jonaspauleyewear.com and type in 15, the lucky few, for 15% off just for listening. Okay, friends, before we get into this lovely conversation, such a boost of optimism in the, in the world, I want to remind our friends, hit pause, go to wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple Podcasts or wherever it may be, and rate us. Please, 5 stars. Just kidding. Rate, review, and subscribe, because the more ratings and the more reviews and the more subscriptions, the more likely it is people will be able to see that this podcast exists. So we really appreciate it. We love your feedback. We love, love, love hearing from you. So go do that, please. And thank you. Also, you can follow us on the Lucky Few Pod on Instagram, and it's a good time over there. As you're listening, head on over to Instagram, follow along, and then meet us back here for an optimistic, exciting episode about thankfulness as we are nearing the Thanksgiving holiday. Girls, Thanksgiving. Okay, I have a question for you first.
Okay.
When Halloween ended, did you go straight to Christmas? Or do we let Thanksgiving have its moment and then go to Christmas?
I went to Christmas music. For sure.
Okay.
And next week I might bust out the Christmas pajamas.
For sure.
For sure. So I guess so. I guess it's thankful Christmas. Thank God it's Christmas.
I am very staunch. I'm very stuck in my, you cannot pull out the Christmas tree until Thanksgiving is over. And I used to listen to Christmas music before, but I feel like the lead up really fills my soul. I feel like everybody needs a little suffering in order to get to the goodness. So making yourself wait in November makes it all the more magical when it pops out in December.
That's so fun. I'm normally that person. Like, please just let Thanksgiving have its moment. And I remember, because I'm so old now, when going on Black Friday, like, right, yeah. I would always do Black Friday, which now is not even a thing, which irritates my soul. Like retailers, Tuesday. Why'd you even take that from us? And guys, such a privileged little American girl here. And going into Target, and it's like, now there's Christmas decor, you know? And then Christmas decorations literally are coming out in October, maybe even in June. I don't know. And I feel like I'm bitter about that. And then I also maybe just need to embrace it. I don't know. I don't know where I stand yet, but also I've seen so many people back in October or the beginning of November when people switch from Halloween. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of people like 2020 has been a year. And so let's just at least give ourselves 2 months of Christmas. So I think for 2020, that feels fair. But
I can support that.
Yeah.
I can support it, even if I'm a little grumpy about it in general.
But we do a live tree. And so you just can't have a live tree for 2 months.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
I know.
Maybe we switch to maybe we have multiple trees.
Yeah. Now you got a house. You can put
multiple trees.
Yeah. Do the artificial one now and get the real one later.
Right.
Anyways. Excess consumerism.
Yes.
Embrace it all.
More.
I'm so thankful for consumerism and excess in my life. Okay. Yes. But really, here we go. We're moving to a different place because Thanksgiving is so soon. And I do think all of us can agree that it is a moment in time in the American calendar in which that you can reflect on the things you're thankful for. And we talk about often, if not all the time, being thankful that we have kids with Down syndrome. And that is still, I think, in the larger societal view, kind of a radical idea. And so many people in the Down syndrome community, I'd say the majority, but not all, feel that same sense of gratitude for Down syndrome. And I know we've talked to a lot of adults, a lot of people with Down syndrome who also are super grateful that they are who they are. And so we brought our Instagram followers into this and asked them what it is that they're thankful about with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about some of those ideas and perspectives that they brought. And I'm going to start, friends, with one that really spoke to me, and that somebody had said that it opened up their eyes and their heart to their own ableism. Mm-hmm. And that is so true for me. I think before having a kid with Down syndrome, even as a special ed teacher, I had not ever thought of ableism, which for our listeners who aren't familiar, it's just this, it's think of racism, but think of it with disabilities. Micah, will you define ableism?
Ableism is prejudice against any person because of what they're not able to do. So it's the person who is able is discriminating against another person because of what they are unable to do. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's the right definition?
Right. Yeah. I just looked it up and it says basically that discrimination in favor of able-bodied people.
Yeah.
Yes. The
systems and structures that benefit able-bodied people.
Right.
Right. Which is that like most visible in physical places that wheelchairs don't have access. So having curbs where a wheelchair cannot get off the curb onto the street to cross the street. Mm-hmm. And so with our kids with Down syndrome, we see that not as physical. Sometimes it's quieter. Sometimes it is more abstract the way that our kids are being discriminated against. And it takes our looking a little harder and recognizing. So, but I see that. I mean, I feel like for myself, it's opened my eyes to my own ableism. I think it's also opened my eyes to my own racism. It's opened my eyes to so many ways that I have been in the majority in my life and have had things easy. And I think a gift of recognizing Ace's, the discrimination against Ace in his life has revealed to me, wow, I've been living in this whole world where everything has come easy to me, whether it's because of my race or because I was born middle class or because I have blonde hair, you know, like all of these things and I've been so grateful that Ace has helped me see that there's been so much more going on around me and that I am called to not only advocate for him, but advocate for everyone who has not gotten the opportunities that I've gotten and who the system is not built for.
I agree with that, Micah. I think for me, that I just think you can't know what you don't know, right? Which is why we talk about it's so important to have people in your life who have disabilities, because they're going to teach you so much about the world, or people in your life who are different than you. And so, yeah, having a kid with Down syndrome, it's like, whoa. I've lived my whole life going into spaces so easily that my kids actually aren't really welcome in. That's why there's all the separate things, you know, even like with Mason and dance, it's like people saying, look at this really great dance studio for kids with disabilities. And I get that there's a place for that. It's not all bad, but that why does that exist? Mm-hmm. You know, and being aware that there's spaces in my own life and things that I guess take advantage of almost that people with disabilities just can't. I think about Instagram. There's been a big push this year, at least for the accounts I follow, to describe what your picture is, your image. And so, or to make sure you caption anything where there's talking. And I had so many people reach out to me, like, can you please put captions on your videos and your stories? You know, like, can you please caption your videos? And it's like, yeah, it's such a hassle. You know, as an able-bodied neurotypical person, I'm like, well, that feels annoying to me because it's extra time. But I think that just shows, you know, this idea of ableism in my own life, and that it's that there's something like Instagram isn't created for all people. It's created, it's not created for to work in favor for people in the deaf community or people who are visually impaired. And so what can we do to fix that? Right. And that's just like one tiny little example. And I don't think I would have cared or even known to care about that if I didn't have kids with Down syndrome in my life. Yeah. So I think I love that this person wrote in and said that it's opened their eyes and hearts to their own ableism. Cause you can't fix it if you don't recognize it, you know, you can't work towards being better. Mm-hmm. And that was true. That was true for me.
Yeah,
for sure. Mercedes, what about you, girl? What are some of the things that people wrote in or that stood out to you about thankfulness, or what are some things that you're thankful for when it comes to Down syndrome?
Oh man, so many things. I am thankful for the beauty that is Down syndrome, in the sense of when Sunflower or my other friends who have Down syndrome are in a room, or where I'm at, or when I'm doing life in community with them, there's a dual purpose of such life-givingness. Like when Sunflower, I actually can't use Sunflower, she's my daughter, but when I was a part of Lighthouse, why I loved showing up and being there was not because, like, ooh, I was helping them. Like, maybe at first that's what got me there, you know? Like, I was a volunteer and I wanted to do something impactful within the world. And then I showed up. So that was my first step through the door. And then that quickly was overtaken by how much I needed the refreshingness of, it didn't matter how I showed up. It was just that I was there.
Yeah.
You know, like how my friends with Down syndrome saw me was, they didn't say, whoa, you look tired, or like, gosh, you know, like, there was none of that. It was just simple joy that we were there together and we were going to be hanging out and doing something, you know, like there's rare occasions where you could just walk out your door. And for me, at least, where I feel like, oh man, I need to put on like a dress and maybe brush my hair. Right? Like that expectation that someone else is going to look at me and, you know, make some sort of judgment, big or small. I could show up, and I feel this way about people with Down syndrome in general, that I can show up just as I am, truly. Mm-hmm. Right? And how much I really, really loved that and needed that. And in their own humbleness and being, they give so much purpose to others. Like the gift of having a person with Down syndrome in your life is like, it's so unexplainable. But just this, like, show up as you are. I need you. You need me.
Yeah.
And I almost can't put into words that, because it's not like they need me because they're incapable, but your humbleness allows me to rise to the occasion to put myself second, if that makes sense. You know? And there's not too many opportunities that you get to do that when you're an adult. You know, you can kind of pave your own way, do what you want. I really love that that I have to pause. I have to change myself. I have to look at myself and be better. I like that reminder. It's not invasive too. It's not invasive, and it feels good. I hope that makes sense, but that's how I feel. I'm so thankful for that.
It's so beautiful. And I think that there's something like what you're describing, Mercedes, is like, it's the magic of vulnerability. Don't you feel like the fact that culturally we have been taught to not need to not ask for help, to not be someone who needs help, to make it happen on our own. And because of that, we don't learn how to be vulnerable with each other. And that's a skill that if we're lucky and we're healthy, we start to learn later in life, because it's the only way to make it through this world with joy, I think, is to learn how to be vulnerable. And it is a gift that, like what you're saying, Mercedes, to be with people who need help and know they need help. And it's not in a way of pity, even though the world may look at that with pity. Like it's a vulnerability that we actually all need to learn. And if we're willing and able to learn from the people in our lives who have already learned how to be vulnerable and already learned how to ask for help, it's transformative.
Yeah. It's like a lack of inhibition. That's one of my favorite things about my kids with Down syndrome and adults who I'm friends with. Like I watch how they step into the world fully as they are. And I think, man, I wish I could do that. You know, like I wish I wasn't so inhibited by my concern for what others think of me. And, you know, and not that people with Down syndrome don't care about those things. Right. But there's just such a, it's everything that both of you guys said. Yeah. There's like such a vulnerability and, hey, this is who I am and here I am and that's who you are. And I'm going to like you for who you are, and you don't need to be more different or better. And that really is incredibly life-changing to get to be witness to that and to learn from it. I'm super thankful for that. But also sometimes that's hard when my kids are little. Like Macy shows up as who she is. The other day we had some friends in the car and we were doing this scavenger hunt and we were going fast and she decided she didn't want to go fast. And so she's out and we're in a car full of kids and she's like, I hate this. I want to go home. I want to go home. And everyone's having a blast. And she's just like, I don't like this. I don't want this. I want to go home. I want to go home. And so she's got no problem with her friends who are their junior hires of letting everyone know how she feels about something, you know? And it's like, well, babe, I'm just going to need you to read the room. Everyone's having a good time. And I need you to just like, thank you for sharing. Now keep it to yourself. Like, you know, like there's that sense of like, I would never yell at my friends. Like, I'm done playing with you. Take me home. You know? And so there's a sense of, okay, balancing that. It can be so hard, but being able to then talk to her friends about like, Macy really does love you and loves being with you. And this is probably a different interaction than you've had with any of your friends before. So let's work through that. But that's, I feel like as Mason's been in junior high, that's been really hard for me. And then revealing that I've just got the things that I need to, that's my bad, not hers. Like I got things I need to work out in my heart, mind, soul that she's helping me see more clearly by being hard, by being a hard child.
It's, I think that there is something to that junior high thing, Heather, for those of us who, I mean, I wasn't cool in junior high, and, but I feel that burden still, you know, even as a mom of a middle school boy right now, I watch this week, the girls were trying to steal his hat and he's like trying to steal their cupcakes or something after school. It's like such a middle school flirt thing going on. And I feel all the feelings about it, you know, like, this is kind of fun. And then also like, no, I don't like this. And also like, don't be weird. Don't be weird. You know, like, I feel like I'm as a mom watching, like, so many things, so many things. And so I'm just putting myself in your shoes, Heather, because my experience is of a typical 12-year-old boy watching him go through middle school. And then for those of us who, you know, all three of us really place value in our social skills and in our abilities to interact with people, and our friends are so important to us. And so to watch our kids be outside of the comfort zone and in terms of social skills, in terms of like how you react with your friends, and then to add on middle school to it. It's a lot, Heather. I can see that, like, that it's both, and so much when we're talking about what we're grateful for, it's a both and, like, the hard part is also the beautiful part, just like you said, because you are learning to see in yourself, like, how much value have I been placing on my social skills all my life, on my ability to make people like me, and what does that reveal about me, and what needs to change about me so that I can more fully love my kid?
I love that you brought up social skills. I mean, at what age have we needed to stop working on our social skills? Like, never. And I just feel like that reminder of every time I would take Sunny to therapies and stuff, I'm like, you know what? She's not struggling with this, but could you quickly look at my son Rhodes right now? You know, like, this is not her issue, but if we could step aside and bring this guy right here, you know, like, it, there's such a microscope on a person with Down syndrome, you know, for the sake of helping. Right. But it's been revealed to me that because I'm an able-bodied person, there's no microscope on me. I get, you know, like, unless I am self-aware or someone brings it up to me and I decide to receive it, then I don't have to change. But we are forcing constantly people with disabilities to change or keep people that seem to not be doing it right or weird to change, you know? And that's been a lesson that I'm thankful that I'm learning and I'm still like wrestling with. I just feel like we all need social skills class.
We do.
Every year.
Yeah. I mean, that brings us back to like the ableism. That is part of the definition of ableism, that the fact that we don't have to think about these things, like the fact that there is a way to be that we've been told, and that way to be is able-bodied neurotypical. Therefore, everyone who's not should be doing A, B, C, and D to be that, to be more like, you know, and that idea of thinking, I believe, is wrong. And I think that's part of our narrative shift, right? To reveal that and to say there's actually, the goal is not to be more like someone like me. The goal is just to fully be your best version of yourself. Which, if you have a disability, that includes your disability, you know?
Yes. Right.
For sure.
I have one that stood out to me that from a listener. It says, having Down syndrome in our family slows down time to bask in the amazing colors of life. Mm. And I feel like that is one of the things I am most grateful for, is that time really has slowed down. And it has been in ways that I probably could have expected at the beginning, in ways that I couldn't have. Just in some ways that are just really silly. Like, Ace has been wearing the same shoes for 2 years and we finally just put them away.
Totally.
And I'm like, we just freaking wore those shoes all the way through. And things that were, you know, all three of my boys have worn my husband's brother, my brother-in-law, JJ's little pea coat from when he was three in 1992, that they have all worn it. It's 3T. And Ace is still wearing that thing and it still looks amazing on him. So there's like that way of time slowing down. And there's other ways too of just how slowly he moves through the world, how much when I am just able to be present with him, how much I'm able to see the world through his eyes. And it is really, I mean, he can squat down and watch a ladybug just crawl for a good few minutes.
Totally.
And there's so much I have to learn from that. And so much I have learned and am still learning. And even like his sleep struggles, which we still deal with. He was up every night last week. And I remember when I couldn't get up because my concussion recovery was so intense and Chris had to get up with him every night back in the spring. Chris, someone in a podcast share about seeing your child as God wanting to spend time and be held by you. Mm-hmm. And so Chris was able to kind of like adjust that mindset from, I'm exhausted and I'm so tired of having to put you back to sleep when you're jumping on the bed at 2 a.m. to like, God is here and God wants to hold me to hold him. And like the way that as hard as things can be, like what a beautiful shift. And to be like, how much does that form us, you know, to see our kids that way and to experience challenges that way. And then it becomes about love.
Then it becomes about love.
It does.
Yes. And that example of what I'm trying to quote you, Micah, you said a minute ago, and you can correct me, but the idea that it's the hard thing that actually is the good thing, like that it's that hard thing that's going to help us grow and be better. And sometimes I just want to be like, well, why is it going to be the hard thing? But it's so true. And again, like in talking about being thankful for Down syndrome, I think that I learned that from people with Down syndrome who I love and from raising a child with Down syndrome. And I'd say the last month with all of my children, but I think especially my kids who have Down syndrome, everything has felt so hard. And there's been a heightened sense of loss in what this pandemic has done for them in terms of regression and then like this sense of, well, this is how I've failed as a mom because I can't get my act together and follow through with this appointment and calling this therapist and, you know, making it work for my kid. And ultimately I'm the one who needs to, well, Josh too, he is a partner in this, but we are the ones who need to do A, B, C through Z so that our kid can be more whatever. And I'll start to go down that spiral. And there's some truth to that, right? Like we do therapy with our kids for certain reasons and we change their diet. And we do these things for our kids with Down syndrome, maybe more so than our kids who don't have Down syndrome, but also we should for our kids who don't have Down syndrome, but like getting into this place of everything just feels too hard. And I'm tired of that. And then being able to have some time and some perspective and to talk through it with people of like, but this is the thing that has brought so much richness and goodness to my life. And that reminder of, oh, I do believe in my deepest heart of hearts that my kids with Down syndrome don't need to be anything more or less. They're so worthy and valuable. And then I have to apply that to me, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have to take that. I believe that to be true. And I have to apply that to myself, that I don't need to do anything more as a mom. I don't need to show up in any greater way to be worthy as a human being. And that lesson, that because when it gets hard, it forces me back into that lesson. And instead of like in times of ambivalence, you know, like, well, everything's fine and it's all good. That hardness pushes me there. So
yeah.
I guess that was a long way to say I'm thankful for the hard things.
Right.
Mark.
I know, right. I feel like I get that, especially in the motherhood journey. Yesterday, so Tuesdays we do our nature group where we meet up with the whole group of moms and kiddos and we go usually on a hike and then eat lunch and playground. Well, we started off at the playground, was at the foot, like the entrance of the hike. And I didn't think much of it. And then I was like, oh no. The park is Sunny's transition nightmare. Like she won't, like now it's just the park. We're at the park. And
Right. Usually
I would push her to be like, I would do all the things, like push her into like being for the group where this is what the group is doing. This is what we've arrived here for. Also, because we homeschool. So there's not a lot of group following that happens. Yeah. So I feel like it's important to show up and be ready to follow the group to just help with that skill for her. And it wasn't happening. And then I have her siblings and she's my oldest. And a gift with Sunflower being my oldest and having Down syndrome is how really pure of heart the whole tribe has really stayed, you know, because like even like her peers are playing with LOL dolls and all these like things and Barbies. And I really haven't introduced that yet. We're still doing the baby dolls. And now we'll introduce her American Girl dolls. Like, I feel like everything's pushed back a little bit, you know, which I actually love. I'm like, my five-year-old is acting like a five-year-old, no more than that, you know? Yeah. So anyways, that's really precious to me. And then, so the playground is still Sunflower's jam. She loves the playground. And so I let it go. I trusted someone else with Rhodes to go do the hike because he still wanted to do the hike. And I let her play on the playground and I paused, you know, and that was a small win for me because I didn't care that maybe the other parent, a moms would see that she just maybe couldn't handle it. Cause I get sensitive about that, you know, like, oh, okay. It's okay. Don't push her. It's okay. And I'm like, no, she can rise to the occasion. You know, like she does get excused by others. Yeah. So I like to be the one to kind of, and isn't that kind of a form of ableism too? Like, oh
yeah,
don't expect more. You know, or don't, no, it's all right. She can play. Let her play. No, let her take home that toy. She can have that toy. I'm like, no, guys, she must rise to the occasion. And, but learning those battles as what is actually a battle, what is most important. I have a whole day ahead of me. We are going to have another hurdle to cross in like an hour. And it's not going to be this one. Yes, just the constant mirror. And maybe like she's just helping to shape the kind of mom I actually want to be. And like you're saying out there of like loving myself, like you show up just as you are, Sunflower. Okay. And I will show up just as I am. Mm-hmm. I will try not to be embarrassed as a mother, not like think of what your actions are as reflecting on me, but your actions are your actions. My actions are my actions. And we will move on through life together. I don't know. I feel like both of what you guys have said have really resonated with me and put into words of the things that I really am thankful for that we're just chipping away at daily. Right.
Yeah. It's beautiful, Merce. And I think that it's good to have these conversations because it reminds us of that, right? We get to process through that and see that what we're really grateful for. Mm-hmm. When it comes to our kids with Down syndrome, and it's people wrote in and said things that are really sweet, like unconditional love and perspective understanding. Someone said, I'm so thankful for all the hugs. And Macy's not their kid. Just kidding. Macy doesn't love to hug.
and all these things. Understanding. Yeah. I'm like, Sunny's not their kid, huh?
Totally. I've got the hugs over here. I've got the so
August,
many hugs.
I got them too with August. August just wants to tell me how wonderful I am all day long. So I'll take it. but it is like all of those things are important. And then when you really process through it, it's that idea that it's not that we're not going to work hard on ourselves, right? To always be a better human. And it's not that we're not going to, as we raise our children, push them to be better humans. Of course we're doing that. But it's that idea of who you are right now is enough. Mm-hmm. And your acceptance and your worth in this world is not determined by being more or doing better. It's mm-hmm. because you're here. And I'm thankful for that truth because I believe that mm-hmm. is truth. And I'm thankful for people with Down syndrome who have helped me to see that.
Absolutely.
So on that note, we're going to go to some good news and hear from our sponsor, and we'll be right back. This week's episode is sponsored by Able Now, a tax advantage savings account for eligible individuals with disabilities. Able Now accounts are the result of nearly a decade-long cross-disability advocacy effort. The idea originated with a group of parents hollered to those parents who recognized the unfairness of not being able to save funds in their child's name for fear of losing essential disability benefits. Now, Able Now is available to qualified individuals in all 50 states. Learn if you or someone you know is eligible for an Able Now account at able-now.com. Jonas Paul Eyewear was founded by Ben and Laura Harrison when their son Jonas was born nearly blind at birth. This was extremely unexpected news. They used this new challenge as fuel to launch Jonas Paul Eyewear, which now specializes in glasses for kids and teens ages 4 to 16 years old. Jonas Paul is on a mission to help kids feel beautiful and confident in their glasses. They have at-home try-on kits, which allows your child to try on the glasses for a week without ever leaving your home. And when you're ready to order, prescription glasses start at just $79, including prescription lenses. And right now, they're offering blue light blocking lenses, which are perfect for the extra screen time and online learning that so many of our kiddos are doing. So if you're in need of glasses, head to jonaspauleyewear.com and type in 15, the lucky few, for 15% off. Just for listening. Do either of you guys have good news that you can share?
I have a song that goes, it's Thanksgiving and I've got good news. It's Thanksgiving and I got good news. Oh, ho, ho. Shimmy, shimmy. That was a good shimmy, Heather. Sorry that all of you listeners missed it.
Bummer. All right, I'm going to share some good news from a listener, and then Mercedes or Micah, if you've got some good news, you will be up. We have Lauren H. Scott 1 on Instagram shared, we were going to have to wait until age 4 to have our daughter Reagan go to preschool due to lack of funding in schools for an EA, educational assistant. I'm guessing, is that what that means? At age
I think
3?
So.
But thanks to her school, she is attending now at age 3, and she has a great buddy system in place. She loves preschool, and we knew she would. Thankful for inclusion and a supportive school. That's some good news, girl. Thank you for writing in. Good job.
Great news.
Good job, Reagan.
Yeah.
Good news. Miss Sunny May. What did I say? I want to post a video to Instagram, but she's rocking it at doing some dishes. She loves to do dishes. And it's perfect too, because I'll have her do the dishes and count that as like the rinse to then put it in the dishwasher, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I've been thinking that's pretty cute. I think she likes the whole, like, you know how us as women, like sometimes doing the dishes is therapeutic, or men. Andy actually loves to do dishes. It's like therapeutic, you know, you're just kind of zone out washing. And I think I see that in her. She likes the process of it. So I've got a dishwasher.
Holla.
Woohoo!
Finally some help.
Getting the chores. I'm telling you, it is, even once they all start doing chores, even though the bathrooms are horribly clean, I'm just okay with it. I'm just okay. So happy to not be cleaning that toilet myself. Yeah. So go chores. I have one. Okay, so Ace's school went virtual for 2 weeks. There was a case of COVID, and I am so thankful for this school district and for these teachers. After feeling like distance learning just did not work for him before. I'll say it with this caveat, it has required a lot of me. I've had to be fully present, but I have felt like the past 2 weeks have not been wasted time. Mm. He has really learned, and I've been amazed by how they're using ABA. What's the thing? Like ABA values or mm-hmm. ABA to really teach him. So he's matching colors, he's matching mm-hmm. animals, he's following directions. And I'm just super thankful for teachers who understand him and know how to teach him. Cause I feel like it's been a while mm-hmm. for him to, he's been stuck for a while. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're making some cool progress. So good news.
That is good news. Thanks for sharing that, friends. And as always, we want to hear from you. So if you have some good news, you can leave us a voicemail. You can go to theluckyfewpodcast.com for our phone number. You can leave us a direct message on Instagram and share your good news about your loved one with Down syndrome. Or if you're a person with Down syndrome and you want to share some good news, we'd love to hear it. And if you have a product or a business that wants to help us shout the worth of people with Down syndrome, then we would love to partner with you. You can email hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com for sponsorship opportunities. And a huge thank you to our editor, Josh Avis, our producer, Val Schleter, our sponsor, and all of you who have shared the Lucky Few podcast with friends who have listened faithfully and cheered us on. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And we are thankful for you. We are thankful for your loved one with Down syndrome. And remember, you dear listeners, you are a shouter of worth. You are a narrative shifter. We are cheering for you. We will be together next week on the Lucky Few podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.